This is Blind Cool Tech for July 26, 2007. I'm Larry Skukon. I'd like to talk with you today about a subject that someone left on the comment line, or actually it actually was an email. Good topic though, and I'm sure what I have to say about it can be greatly enhanced by the experience of some of the rest of you. The topic is retiring a guide dog. And I can speak to this topic with a little bit of authority because I've retired two of them. I've actually had, Jake is my fifth guide dog. So I retired two and, one of them, I retired two. One of them I actually had to send back for health reasons. And boy, that's a story in itself. In fact, I think that was one of the saddest days of my life when I put that dog in the crate and brought him to the airport. And I couldn't really explain to him what was going on, you know. This dog was named Finn. He was a German Shepherd, and he had contracted, good boy. Oh, what is it? Not Rocky Mountain spotted fever, but, oh, great. Well, it'll come to me. Good boy. Ehrlichiosis, yes. So Finn was a German Shepherd, my second dog, and I moved to Texas when I had him, and that was a brutal climate for a German Shepherd. This was northeast Texas, and I guess he got a tick bite somewhere. This ehrlichiosis is pretty brutal to watch as it progresses. Seems to attack the joints. And, I mean, I was nursing this poor dog, and I was making meals for him better than what I was eating. But, great dog. I think I've told you some stories about him before. He very, very sensitive. In fact, I will never forget the first day of training. You know, I had just retired. Sorry for being out of breath here. This is a hill. I had just retired my first guide dog, George, who was a black lab. And he was about 13 when I retired him, actually. And then lived another three and a half years. But that process was quite an interesting adjustment too, because George was one of these dogs that would leap into the harness just raring to go. And Finn was a lot more seriously. So, you know, he couldn't just hop up and jump into it. He had to sort of mentally prepare for it. But George was like that with everything he did. He was, you know, not overly aggressive, but just bam, bam, go, go. And if you had to correct him, you had to give him a good hard correction. And that actually, as I've mentioned before on these casts, once you've had a dog for, a year or so, you very, very rarely ever have to give it a leash correction. And not that I'm against leash correction. I'm just stating my experience. But anyway, first day I get out of the van. Little delicate Finn there. He only weighs 60 pounds or so. He's a long shepherd, but he's skinny. And so we hop out of the van, and you know, your first thing you do is you stand there and give the dog a command to go forward. So he takes me forward about 3 steps, and pow! I hit and ran right into a no parking sign. Yeah, I mean, I had no parking on my forehead and from 9 to 3 on my chin, you know. So the first thing I do is pop the dog. I mean, you know, you don't get dramatic about these leash corrections. You just, really the philosophy is you just jerk it and go on, you know. It's like they may not even associate it with you. So when I did that, he flipped head over heels, landed back on the grass behind me. So that was our introduction to the first time working anyway. So I mean, I had to be really gentle with this dog. Well, in fact, that's one I never, ever leash corrected after that. I mean, just a no would stop him dead in his tracks. And you say the correction word, man, he'd probably have a breakdown, you know. But anyway, this dog contracted ehrlichiosis, and it wasn't because I wasn't keeping up with the tick medicine or anything. Just so happened to get a tick bite that was carrying this disease, and believe me, you don't ever want to let that happen to you. So that dog I had to send back to the Seeing Eye, as the school I've been going to. It's the oldest in the country, and I think they're all good schools. You just need to do your research and see what philosophies best fit how you want to live and work with your dog. But with the retirement of George, one of the hardest steps in any retirement is deciding when it's time to do it. And with this particular dog, I knew, because he was starting to get pretty arthritic. You know, 13 is a good age for a big dog, or a seasoned age, we might say. Boy. Excuse me. Good morning. And I noticed that every time that we would go down a flight of stairs, he was very hesitant. So that, you know, indicated that he was having some back pain or joint pain somewhere, just the way he was acting. And you know, when he got up from laying down, you could tell he was stiff. He loved to work so much. In fact, I retired him. I believe I used him on the Friday and went to Seeing Eye that Saturday. Well, a month later when I came back, and this is an important part of retiring a dog if you're going to keep it. You know, there are several other options than you keeping it. At the time, my children and wife were living, and I were all living under the same roof, and we had a family support that to take care of an additional, well, at this point, had become a pet. So we decided to keep George. We could have adopted him out to a friend. Believe me, there's plenty of people that would love to have a retired guide dog and take good care of it. I mean, these are intelligent dogs, and let's face it, they're not all that way. So they're usually very well behaved, and people like to, you know, they like a well-behaved animal like that. And that's usually the reason you'll retire one, by the way, is either age or sickness. At least that's, or health in some way. That's been my experience anyway. I'm sure there, you know, there are times when you and the team, as a team, don't work out, which can also make you retire a dog. In those cases, usually, though, the school will take the dog back and retrain him for another person. And that's not a bad thing. In fact, two of my dogs have been retrained, and they're both excellent animals. I'm giving one the privilege of guiding me right now, in fact. Can't imagine why somebody wouldn't have wanted little Jakesters here. Big goofball. Attaboy, fella. Good boy. So, when I get home with Finn after this 30 days of training, or 4 weeks, no, actually it was 3 weeks that time because that was my second dog. It's four, at least it's seeing eye with your first dog, and 3 weeks with subsequent dogs. Unless you need a 4 week, of course. Walking by the coffee house. So I get home, and one of the things you have to deal with is introducing your new dog to your retired dog. And in my case, this has been no problem whatsoever, but there are some general guidelines. And there are other dogs that could be more aggressive, more protective, less willing to accept new things. And in my case, it was no problem, though. And I did follow these helpful tips, though, when bringing a new dog into a home with your retired animal. And they do go over this with you in the guide dog classes and the training. I had my wife bring the George out to the out of the yard so that they could actually meet on neutral territory. And as with every other dog that George met, he wagged his tail at Finn and everything was good from then on. They never really played that much. Finn wasn't much of a player. Well, and in truth, George was getting pretty old by then, too. So, Finn was a bit timid, and that's the real problem when you bring your new dog home. When you think about it, you're taking everything away from them that they know. You know, they've lived at that school for months, and they've had that trainer that's like a god to them or something. And you're starting to bond. And, you know, you're the only thing they have, actually, when you go into this new home. In fact, at the Seeing Eye, and I'm sure at other schools, you know, they ask you to bring the little dog pad or the bed that the dog sleeps on at night with you, so he'll have that to be familiar with. And, in fact, I have a funny story about Jake with that. He actually started sucking on his like it was a pacifier. And finally, he just sucked it to pieces. And now what I do is give him old dish towels and whatever. So all my wash rags and dish towels are pretty good shape. Because if they have a little raveler, I just don't like the feel of it. Pass it on to the sucking and cycling. So yeah, Jake will just sit there and go into a trance. It's sort of like his pacifier. He still does. It's, And, you know, I give him a rag and he carries it around for a month or two till he tears it up. Old socks, anything. But anyway, so I bring Finn home, we introduce him, and one thing too that you have to be very careful of when you bring your old dog into a new home, well, this doesn't really have that much to do with a retired dog, but it's good to mention the point, and that is that my dog Finn laid eyes on my wife and just fell in love with her. He just pretty much forgot me. But we worked that out over time. So here I am. I get this new dog. And in the morning, they actually don't encourage you to go to work the first day with the dog. So this may have been second or third morning after. But the point is, it went on for months. I would go to the back door where the harness was on the doorknob. I just would hang it on the doorknob when I come in, harness and the leash. I'd pick up the harness and George would come running. And that in truth, is another sad thing to have to watch. And Finn would go the other way. He didn't want to work. Now, once he got his mind into it, and got accustomed to the idea, he was a fantastic guide dog. It's a very, very serious thing. So, yeah, when you bring the dog home, you're gonna have those kind of feelings too, or those kind of situations where the old dog knows the routine. This happened to me also with Freddy. I retired Freddy, my fourth dog, the one right before Jake, and good boy. And he thought he was going every morning. It really makes you feel sad and almost traitorous. And you can help that out by, well, you don't want to let the dog do any more guide work, but you can take him for walks. So that's what I ended up doing with him. I often took him to work on a Saturday when nobody was around, because you can't really, you know, you don't have a legal right to take a retired guide dog with you to work. Everybody at work would say, you know, bring Freddy to see us. Okay, phone. Good. And at the bowling alley. I never did take him to the bowling alley, but I would take him for a good long walk on Saturday. It was long for him. It was what he was used to every day, though. And then sometimes during the evenings, you know, around the block or two. But it really wasn't anywhere near enough to satisfy him. Not that he ever got in any trouble or anything. But that eagerness to work is a common symptom of a retired guide dog. And another thing you have to remember when you retire a guide dog, or even when you go to get a new one after having retired one for whatever reason, you have to consider that every dog is going to be different in the way that they work. Dogs are as different individuals as humans are. And you know, you get used to the way a dog crosses a street or indicates something and the other one does it differently. You may think, well, he's doing it wrong, but not at all. In fact, I hate to get so far afield of the subject, but you know, one common situation is that is just an example of, well, I guess an example of how you have to use a dog. Is, you know, if you're walking somewhere and someone says, well, wait a minute, sir, we got something in the way here. Go to your right, more to your right. You know, you can't deviate from where the dog's taking you. You, what you do in that situation is ask the dog to go to the right. You don't step off to the right and ask the dog to follow you. And, you know, if that person thinks that you need to be more to the right, you know, he just may not used to be in being used to seeing how close sometimes a dog takes you to things, which is, you know, it is disconcerting at times. In fact, I know a lot of people with low vision have trouble putting their full confidence in a dog because it often looks like they're about to run into something, you know, a hanging limb or whatever, and the dog will take them around, you know, with a couple inches to spare or whatever. And that's actually not unusual. You have to be very aware of your dog's movements. Anyway, every dog is going to be different in the way they behave, so one of the important parts about a retirement is that you have to accept that. You have to be willing to, you know, give your confidence to the new dog and let him do the job that the way he knows how. And the nice thing about doing that is you may actually get surprised and find that the new dog does things even better than the old one did. You know, you have to remember, especially when you get your first dog, you as the handler of the dog are pretty much a bumbling idiot in terms of, you know, how to, well, experience with reading the signals of a guide dog, following the dog, knowing what the best behaviors to encourage and discourage are. A couple of these casts I have attempted, in fact, to describe each of the things that Jake, my guide dog, is doing. And, you know, as I notice here, I try to keep these branches cut on this stretch of road here. But there still is a lot of weaving in and out that Jake has to do to clear everything. And that's one of the dog's jobs, is to watch the overheads. In fact, it's one of the hardest things for a dog to learn, simply because of the, you know, the difference in your two heights. Especially when you're as tall as I am. I'm 6'4". And Jake's, what, 25 inches at the shoulders, I think? So, quite a difference there. So every dog is going to do things differently. I mean, it can be the littlest things. You know, the way they point at something as you go by. The way they kind of look around at their environment as you're walking. Good boy. So we've talked about retirement willingly and some of the issues with bringing a dog into and we've talked about keeping your retired guide dog. I do want to give you one more example of keeping my retired dog and bringing a new one into the home with a little bit of a different situation. Good boy, little buddy. My fourth dog, Freddie, who was a golden retriever.
Walk time, Stanford Avenue.
Boy. Started having eye problems of all things when he was around 8 years old. And I had suspicions of this from several of his behaviors. I guess my first indication, good boy, my first indication was one evening after teaching some classes over here at KSB, just some computer training kind of things. went to, this was upstairs, and we went to go downstairs. And, good boy. I gotta find out how this corner is traffic controlled. I'm under the impression that everybody has a stop sign there, but they may just be stopping because I'm coming up. I had to alter my route a little bit there, doing some construction on the west side of the tracks on Frankfurt, and they've got the sidewalk chained off, fence around it, kind of puts you out in the street there, which I don't understand why they don't give us a little detour path like they did up that last construction area, but they don't, so I'm going a different way. But, Freddie began by this first thing I noticed was going down these stairs, and he literally had his after the class, he literally had his nose on each stair as he went down. And there was a guy in front of me, and he said, "Wow, it's dark in here." So I've seen a dog have trouble seeing where they'll use their nose and their whiskers and their snout to help guide them along. Hello? Hey, what's up, Bill? Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. The insurance paying for all that? Boy, the race is on to get that thing fixed, huh? Man. Well, all right, man. Good luck with it. If we can help anyway, let us know. All right. See ya. Bye. So he could, but he really was having trouble. I've never seen a dog have that much trouble seeing. And, a couple years after that, I noticed, he was really taking me closer than what he should on sides of buildings and stuff, and I think he was, looking at trying to use it to gauge his distance. And I'd seen him stop on a real bright sunny day to like if there was a glare in the sidewalk or whatever. So when I got a letter saying there was a canine ophthalmologist of all things in Cincinnati that would examine the dogs with a cooperative agreement from the seeing eye at no charge, I went to Cincinnati and had him looked at, and the guy said, "You need to retire this dog today." So I did. In fact, one of the instructors from the seeing eye came and brought him on a plane back with her, and I'm sure he didn't have to go back in the cargo area either. She may have got promoted to first class, in fact. But anyway, so that was a hard retirement as well. And again, a health reason. I did decide to keep Freddie. And one of the things you have to realize, too, about keeping an older dog, if you decide to go that route, is there can be some extensive health bills involved. And that was the case with Freddie. I eventually had to have one of his eyes removed. And I actually eventually let Maria from work adopt Freddie. especially when, you know, her boyfriend was around and was able to take me for a walk every day. You know, I was living by myself at the time, and I couldn't do the dog justice, especially for what all he did for me. And Freddie actually ended up dying here about a month ago, and I just wanted to pass that on. I really miss him, which death is probably one of the most difficult ways to deal with retiring a guide dog, especially a sudden death. I had this experience as well with my third guide dog, Bubba, who was a German Shepherd. He was after Finn, the German Shepherd, but Bubba was a huge, not aggressive, but bold dog, so he didn't have any problems with timidness. In fact, I'll never forget the first time I went to give him a bath. He hit him with that water hose, and he jumped about 3 feet in the air. But yeah, he was pretty wild. Now, he had been a retrain as well. He, you know, I think he went to a person that was his first dog, and Bubba was, you know, he was a big dog. And, you know, you had to know how to handle him. But anyway, I had left Bubba at home to go to the summer conferences. At the time, I had the MicroTalk software company, and we would always set up a display at both conferences to show ASAP. And I don't know if ASAW was out at that time or not. But my daughter calls me up one night and says, we had to take Bubba to the vet this evening. He was kind of laying on his back and looking glassy-eyed. And so I said, okay. Well, he died at the vet that night. And that was very hard to take. The loss of a dog like that is, well, he is a family member. You know, you're with a dog probably more than you are most of your family, at least if you're using one correctly. I decided actually not to immediately return for a dog, partially because of that, partially the situation I was in at that time in my life. I really wasn't using a dog like I needed to be. And, you know, don't kid yourself. If you're not going to use a dog, don't even bother. If you think you might go for a walk once on the weekends, that's not using a dog. Using a dog to guide you means incorporating that dog into your everyday life. Well, I hope I've provided a few insights into some of the issues involved with retiring a guide dog. If you'd like to make any comments about these observations, the contact information follows. Y'all have a great one.